says to me across the coffee table, "How you doing, Ronkma?" It just can't get any better than that. Let's stand for the call to worship. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it unto you. Let's sing, "Savior, like a shepherd lead us." This doesn't offend a few people, but I prayed yesterday the Lord would give me prayers for shepherds. And so I wrote them. I've never read prayers before other than the Lord's Prayer. But anyway, oh Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we come to you this morning with an open heart. Help us, Father, to come as sheep who need to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. Help us not to come with a spirit of what's in it for me, but with a spirit that truly wants to be an obedient sheep. A sheep that wants with a whole heart to follow you, our shepherd. Lord, you have said, take my yoke and learn of me. Help us as needy sheep who need to know and experience your yoke. We know and admit we totally need the love of you. For only you, the Good Shepherd, can bring us the way, the truth, and the life. Now please join me as we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. I've asked Bob to do a reading for us this morning.
Oh, this is a pretty good one. It's on now, I think. A testimony of a new Christian. That's a pretty good statement. And it's just, wasn't by me either. It wasn't my testimony, but I'm going to read it so that it pertains to me quite a bit. I've decided to repay my Savior. I'm going to serve him daily. He served me before I was. I'm going to try not to sin. He took my sins away. I'm going to give him the money that I can. He gave me everything I have. I'm going to toil and sweat for him. He sweat blood for me. I'm going to read his word. He gave me the eyes to see. I'm going to pray more. He hears my prayers before I ask. I'm going to be bold to speak for him. He gives me the words to speak. I'm going to live for him always. He gives me my life. I'm going to love him for the rest of my life. He loved me so much that he gave his life. Oh, how pitiful is my payment. Thank you.
We're going to sing number 432, softly and tenderly.
Thank you.
The scripture today is John 10, and the service will be about John 10 today, 7 through 18. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they'll hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." Amen. The Good Shepherd leads his sheep. John 10 just happens to be my personal all-time favorite chapter in the scriptures. And it doesn't make a lot of sense because I've never known much about sheep. Later I'll share the story and event that God blessed me with that opened up John chapter 10 to me in an amazing and wonderful way. But we'll get back to that later. The last time I spoke here, I told a story about Bob, Ted, Joe, Odie, and me. The story I shared was about five of us playing ball together for so many years, and it was a very special time in our lives. Today I'm going to shift to another story involving Bob, Ted, and I. I believe this is a more important story because this time God gave us a great spiritual blessing that showed the three of us how the Lord has control over even time. A time that all three of us marveled at what took place was impossible in our own doing, but made possible by the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. The story goes this way. One morning many years ago at Spud's Restaurant, I was sitting by myself at a booth. It happened that Ted and two other men walked in and sat down for coffee at a different booth. I was thinking to myself, boy, I wish Ted was alone. I'd really like to talk to him. You see, I'd always wanted to try to be a ringman in an auction. You might say it was on my bucket list. And Ted, as an auctioneer, was the one to talk to. But Ted was occupied with two friends. I was not about to interrupt. Then Ted and the other men got up and left. For some reason, I was really disappointed that I didn't get to talk to Ted. In all the years I'd known Ted, there must have been plenty of chances to tell him of my desire to be a ring man. But for some reason, it was really on my mind that morning, and I was so disappointed that he had left. But wait, wait. Ted came back through the door by himself. And he just stood there and looked around. This is my chance. So I said, "Hey, Ted, can I talk to you?" And Ted sat down and I began to tell him of my long lifetime wish. I couldn't figure out why he looked at me with such surprise. And the old saying, I think I could have knocked his eyeballs off with a stick. Then Ted said to me, "How about tonight?" Now he could have knocked my eyes off with a stick. Now I was the one who must have looked surprised. So Ted explained. It happened that Bob Vandy's son-in-law had just been killed in a car wreck in Eastern Washington. I'd heard nothing about it. But Ted and Bob were scheduled to do a fundraiser auction for the Dorcas Society that evening, right over here. Bob being the ring man. Bob had already left Sumas to be with his daughter and family in Eastern Washington. As Ted was leaving the house that morning, Jesse said to him, "I just don't know what we're going to do. We don't have a ring man for the auction tonight." Now you can see why Ted was in shock. And then I was in shock when he said to me, "How about tonight?" The truth is, I didn't know anything about Bob's son-in-law. I didn't know there was such a thing as a Dorcas Society. And I sure didn't know that night was their auction. This was all news to me. The auction turned out to be a great success. I learned to be a ring man. And a humorous sidebar to this story, Yopi Marheis and Dwayne Skolton were button heads on them items. So all I did was watch Yopi and take bids, of which there were many. I hope. And I have to say, Yopi Marheis kind of trained me to be a ring man. And I actually went to work for an auction, Everson Auction, and was a ring man for quite a few years, and I've done a lot of benefit auctions since. Thank you, Yopi. That was a long time coming. That must have been 30 years ago. I don't know how long it was. Fast forward, I always wanted to get a chance to talk to Bob, not only to express my sadness for his family's tragedy, but also to tell him how much I feel the Lord loves him and his family, to take control of time that night. Everything was taken care of, that Bob would be able to be with his daughter and family and not worry about anything. And when I did get to talk with Bob, he filled me in on the rest of the story. It seems he was feeling so bad that he couldn't keep his commitment to the ladies, he decided to get in his car and drive back to Sumas in time for the auction. Then he would drive all night to get back to be with his family in Eastern Washington. He stopped at a phone booth to call Ted to let him know he was on his way. And yeah, you're right, that was before cell phones. He used a phone booth. As he walked toward the booth, the Lord spoke to Bob. "It's all right, Bob. It's all been taken care of." I've always thought, what a wonderful example of the power of God to control circumstances and time. Yeah, time. I believe it's the only way all these things could have happened. The Dorcas Society had a great auction. Ted and I saw the impossible situation taken care of. And Bob being blessed by the voice of God. It's all right, Bob. It's all taken care of. The shepherd takes care of his sheep. Let's look for a moment at John 10, verse 4. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. John 10 has always been my favorite chapter in the scriptures. Not because I know a lot about sheep. I know very little about sheep. I was a farmer with cows. I worked with cows half of my life. I know quite a bit about them. I've always liked to judge them. I love to see a good cow and always have. But sheep, not so much. The story of Bob and Ted and I is a beautiful example of the Holy Spirit speaking to our own spirit. That gut urging from Him to be obedient, even when we even don't know what it's about. We are also blessed to know that when we follow these gut urgings from the shepherd, that He knows all things. The beginning to the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He knows his sheep need a shepherd. He watches over his sheep and leads them where they would go. Tell us that all who came before, Jesus tells us, all who came before were thieves and robbers. And I would say there's still a lot of thieves and robbers around who do their very best to lead the sheep astray. And Jesus tells us that the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He also tells of the hireling, who, when he sees trouble, leaves his sheep and departs on the run. He runs, Jesus says, because he is a hired hand, does not really care about the sheep. He's there for wages and benefits. This last Christmas, my wife and I give a lot of books away, and the book was entitled The Beatitudes. The author, Russell Stendhal, and he's well known around here to some people, tells of an experience with a hireling. In Colombia, South America, Russell was captured by communist guerrillas. He shares an experience that happened to him before he was captured. It seems that a pastor or a priest brought a man to him who was filled with an evil spirit. And as the missionaries began to deal with this poor man, they turned around and the one who had brought him had disappeared. A very good example of a hireling who ran from fear, not willing to lay his life down for this poor man controlled by an evil spirit. I was amazed at Russell's story as I've experienced the same thing. Over the past 40 years, I've been called upon times to go and deal with an evil spirit in a home or in a person. I'm going to tell you, Spud is a wimp. Knowing that I'm not capable even to be there. But it's my testimony that when the shepherd, Jesus Christ, calls us, he gives us the spirit of a lion to deal with the wolf. Every time I find it's true, you ask for his help, his strength, his courage, and you go through that door with the power of God. He takes all fear away, and you do what you have been called to do. This particular time that Stendhal writes about reminded me of a time when I was called by a pastor to pray for a young girl. The girl, her mother, the pastor, and I were there upstairs, and there was a bunch of children playing downstairs. But as we sat down, the pastor began to shake and cry in fear. He was begging for mercy. He wanted out of there so bad. So I asked him to go downstairs and play with the kids. You know, I don't talk much about these experiences. I can only say that if you ever find yourself in such a situation, go prepared. Go in the power of the shepherd who loves his sheep and will willingly die for them. Most of my prayer is help, and the Holy Spirit will come. My favorite verse line in all of Scripture, what Jesus says to us in John 15:5, and I tell you it is the truth, truth, truth. One line says, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. And it is so perfectly true. The minute we think that we have all this ability or we're so wise we can remember so many things is the minute we become a hireling. We can't stand up to that darkness by ourselves. If you called to go where the evil is, please, please spend time with the shepherd beforehand. He will give you the spirit of a lion to go through that door. And I didn't put this in the sermon, but I'll give you a good example. I was called in Sumas to go to a house to pray for a young lady. And I'm usually scared, really scared. Scared as I can ever be. Till I get to the door. Now I've prayed and prepared for that door. I walked through the door with the spirit of a lion. Went upstairs and dealt with this young lady. And this happens every time that it's happened. The Lord give me the power and the spirit of Him to deal with the evil. But when I hit the door going out, I became Spud again. And it just happened that it was on a back porch. I was sitting up and I was walked out on the first step of the back porch, top step. And I didn't know there was a dog under the porch. And the dog come roaring out of from under the porch. And I think I jumped 10 feet in the air. The spirit of the lion was gone. Spud became Spud. I'm going to close with a wonderful, wonderful testimony and experience that I've had. I would say one of the top spiritual experiences I've ever experienced in my life. Jesus gave me a visual example of John chapter 10. The story happens in Israel on a highway. In 1981, we were blessed to take a three-week tour of the Holy Land. Our group of about 40 traveled by bus across a good portion of Israel. On a hot, hot, hot late June afternoon, we had just left Masada, a mountain overlooking the Dead Sea where Herod built his winter palace. If you've never watched the movie Masada, you should. In AD 70, when the Romans destroyed the city of Jerusalem, some Jews fled to Masada for their last stand. Roman slaves built a ramp up the side of the mountain, but before they could take the Jews captive, the Jews, all families, committed suicide rather than been taken by the Romans. A Leaving Masada, we headed for Arad, a mining city in northern Israel, southern Israel, where we'd be spending a night at a kibbutz. As we traveled along the highway, we came across a flock of sheep crossing the road. So our bus pulled over to the side of the road, and it was so hot afternoon. And that's where I was given a beautiful picture of John chapter 10. I'm going to draw you a picture today of what happened. Now, I can't tell you numbers, because there's no way I can tell you that. On a mountain, on the side of the road that we had pulled over, and I would always tried to imagine what that mountain would look like here. And I could say if you had Moe's Hill, and maybe make it four times higher, that would be pretty close to what we were looking at. The sheep herd was crossing the road, and on the other side of the road was a well. In this hot day, they must have been so thirsty. But the shepherd took them to the well, and it was amazing, because here I begin to think like a farmer, a cow farmer. How is this possible? Up on this mountain, as far as I could see, I'm going to just for a wild guess say 2,000 sheep. Maybe more, maybe less, but a big bunch of sheep. And this hill is a little different than here. We have trees or we have bushes or something on our hills. There it was bald. There was no sagebrush. There was nothing but sheep and shepherds. Now, 39 people stayed on the bus. Spud jumped off as fast as he could. I wanted to learn about sheep because I knew how precious John chapter 10 is to me. I wanted to know about sheep. I stood there in amazement because I was thinking Holsteins. I know what would have happened on a hot afternoon. No fences, just a highway and a well on that side of the road, and 2,000 Holsteins on the side of that hill. What would have happened? I'd have had 2,000 Holsteins running across the road because they can smell water. And believe me, they needed water. I couldn't understand it. How is it possible that them sheep are just standing or laying up there on that hillside while the others are feasting on cold water? Say 50 or 100 of them over here on the other side of the highway. So I'm befuddled by what's going on. This can't be right. Because again, I'm thinking cows. And anybody that's around cows know that there's no fence and there's water over there and they want water. They're going to get water. Wasn't true. All I seen was sheep and shepherds sitting around on the hill. And I'm thinking some of the sheep on the other side of the road had finished their drinking and they're just laying there browsing. I think, boy, they're in no hurry either. Finally, the shepherd by the well, he gets up and the sheep toddle on down a road and I don't know where they were going. But then I'm looking up at this massive bunch of sheep. And out clear, I'm going to say two-thirds of the way up the hill, in the flocks of sheep, and the sheep are just mingling. There's not one flock and another flock. They're just mingling together. The shepherd stood up and he began to talk to his sheep. A lot hollering, he was just talking. And the flock began to get up. A lot of sheep around him. And then the shepherd began to walk down through the sheep. Not straight, he just meandered. And behind him, I'm going to guess again, let's just say 75, 100 sheep had gotten up and he's talking to them. And he begins walking through these 1,000 sheep or 2,000. These things are impossible to me. Because I'm thinking cows. But what what I seen was the shepherd talking to his sheep. All the rest of them just maybe took a look at him, but not really. And down, snaking down, not a straight line, through the sheep. The shepherd talking to his sheep. And when they got down to the road, they crossed the road, highway, and went for water. Spud is standing there, and as I'm seeing these sheep coming down the road, or down the hill, John 10 began to holler at me. My sheep know my voice. He gave them fresh water, and they were safe. He gave his life for those sheep. And I begin to praise the Lord standing on that gravel right alongside the bus. I've never figured out to this day why Spud didn't have to hitchhike to Arad, because who ever heard of a paid bus driver just sitting there, and he could have took off. I don't know how long I stood there, but I'm going to guess 45 minutes, maybe an hour. And he didn't take off. And I got stood there. I think one time I'm praising Jesus like this, because John 10 became alive to me. My sheep know my voice. My sheep know the shepherd. And down they came. One at a time, back to back, snaking down through all them sheep. No other sheep got up and followed them, because they didn't know the voice of that shepherd. And Jesus knew obviously about sheep and shepherds. That changed. I love the Lord Jesus my whole heart, but when he gives you a blessing like that, where the scripture becomes alive and you see, you don't know nothing about sheep. You know you don't know nothing about sheep. And you see that shepherd leading his sheep by his voice. It has a tremendous impact. It sure did on me, because I love John chapter 10. And it's such a tremendous lesson for all of us that when we listen, I think that's the secret of it. Are we willing to listen to the shepherd? Those sheep got to the well and had fresh water because they knew the voice of the shepherd. I'm going to close with these beautiful promises of Jesus in John chapter 10, 27 through 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who had given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Amen. Another prayer. Oh Lord, we thank you with our whole heart. You give us life, life more abundantly. You give us direction every day and give us everyday direction. You lead us to your green pastures. You guide us through the valley of death. You continue every day restoring our soul. Again, I pray, Lord and Shepherd, help us to listen for your voice, the voice of the great shepherd of the sheep. We praise and thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Can we sing Gentle Shepherd, number 596? Benediction to him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Now we're going to sing to close. What a day that will be, number 314.